started in here.
It's morning again, and waking up isn't easy. At least I know my favorite show is on. It's 6 a.m. There ain't nobody like them. I just know they'll never steer me wrong. Sam, John, Drew, and Sam, speaking out, talking to me, talking to you. Justice and Drew, mornings have never been so good. And Drew, I never miss a show. I don't think I could.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
I don't know.
I kind of get like my phone going off and screaming at me when there's a curfew.
Yeah, I love when I'm driving in and I enter a certain county and it's so, like meep meep meep.
Yeah, so that's the part of it I was gonna add. So I kind of got it at home. Like I got it at home. I'm at home last night and then and I was like, well, what's going on? It's like, they're announcing the curfew. I'm like, okay. But then this morning, it was very 1984 George Orwell. Same thing as I'm driving in. You know, and I had my phone on the little holder, right? Off, of course. I don't know, it's just a black screen. And they usually dim it, so it's just blasting my face if I get a notification or something. And then it went off, and it was like, you know, this area is under curfew. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, am I the only one that, like, driving in, though, when we're under a curfew, and I still see just as many people on the road?
I'm like,
where are you? I mean, I don't know. Like, because I assume when there's a curfew overnight, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering, like, if some people maybe have a late start to work, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Not that it matters.
Well,
but I'm driving in looking around, and I'm like, huh.
I want to say I saw fewer cars on the road, but, I mean, a lot of that just depends on the time that I actually go and get on the road.
I think I saw a little fewer, but not by much.
And I just, you know, I mean, the people like us just have to work, and then there's the people that aren't aware.
Right.
And then there are the people that are just like, whatevs.
Well, I'm driving in, and I'm like, I don't think you're all media or rioters. So what are you doing?
It is Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk. I am John Justice. That other voice you hear is, of course, Sam Sansevier.
Hello.
651-989-5855. No Drew. Thought maybe we were going to have Drew, but then no Drew.
Yeah, he had a very, very late flight.
Yeah,
in
so he was contemplating coming in, but I think his flight didn't get into like midnight. And
yeah.
I was like, what are you doing, man?
I wonder if he was planning on it, but then now he's probably super tired.
Exactly, which is why he had planned on taking it out. Anyway, yeah, he will be in tomorrow. For those that may be waking up, like, what in the world are you talking about? So there was, and we'll get into all of this, there was a curfew that was put in place yesterday in the wake of the Brooklyn Center shooting of Dante Wright. At the hands of law enforcement did come out yesterday, the police chief, and shared the body cam footage, which is available. It is graphic footage, but the footage is available at the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. But they came out yesterday and said the officer who, the female officer has been named, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, who shot Dante Wright, grabbed the gun instead of the taser, according to the body cam footage. In my opinion, you watch the video, and it seems pretty clear based off of her reaction That she was unaware,
yes,
of the fact that she had grabbed her revolver and not her taser. And so we will be getting into a lot of this, all of this, as much as we can, starting at 7 o'clock this morning, including, and want to hear from you as well. Use the hashtag TCNT. This is not necessarily a dig on the governor. I've been thinking quite a lot about this, but I don't like that we're getting accustomed to these curfews. And I understand curfews regionally for the areas of where the violence is expected. But come on. Like when I found out, when Melinda came to me yesterday, my wife, and she's like, there's going to be a curfew in place starting at 7 o'clock. I'm like, what? I said, for us in Anoka? I'm 20 miles north of the city.
Yeah.
Why? And I understand why. And again, this isn't necessarily a dig. I'm still working through it. But I am concerned with the conditioning that is taking place of the government being able to just lock us down. You know,
right.
I mean, and this has huge implications and psychological implications that, and it's part of the questions that we don't talk about. And that's another aspect of this that we will be discussing throughout the show this morning. And that is the questions and the conversations that we're not having. And if we're going to get anywhere in society right now, in stemming the violence taking place in our streets, dealing with these particular situations, we are going to have to grow up. We are going to have to be braver than we are, and we are going to have the conversations about every single facet of these incidents and not just ones that are most politically expedient. 651-989-5855. That is the phone number open throughout the show this morning. We will be speaking with Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka at 7:35. They are talking about some police reforms. We'll ask him what the legislature is looking at. Our continued trial coverage in the Derek Chauvin trial, of course, at 8 o'clock this morning with Channel 4's Jason DeRussia and Scott Johnson from Alpha News and Powerline. We are expecting today for the prosecution in the state to arrest its case and the defense to take over. And also looking at perhaps being in the hands of the jury by Friday. So we'll talk with both of them about that at 8 o'clock and Pete Hegseth from Fox News at 8:35. But first, we will get into all of the latest news with Sam's Top 5 next here on Twin Cities News Talk.
You can win $1,000 on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and FM 103.5.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Trip. That's trip.
So there was a curfew that was put into effect. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the 7 o'clock hour as we dive into more of the Dante Wright shooting. And, of course, we have continued coverage of the Derek Chauvin trial as we head towards the end this week, apparently. We'll be talking with Jason DeRussia from Channel 4, Scott Johnson from Alpha News and Powerline. Keith Ellison and the Brooklyn Center mayor, Mike Elliott, both went out last night to some of the protesters in Brooklyn Center and spoke to them. We have audio of this. It's interesting. I'm not even going to, and we'll play the audio right around 8:20 this morning. So you definitely want to stick around to hear that. But it is interesting because I do give them a little bit of credit in what it seems they were attempting to do. But there's some interesting language being used by both of them, as if they had all come to an agreement on how they were going to address individuals out in public. So we'll play you the audio and kind of let you be the judge. But again, they were also breaking their own curfew. Because this was clearly after the curfew had started, and I know
you can't
that
do that once you're the person who makes the curfew.
I know, and I get just again the double standard. And there were people that were arrested last night. I just, like, if you were a person that was arrested, but yet you were a person who got to have a conversation with Keith Ellison and Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott. I just kind of everything is upside down. But the good news is here on Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew, is that Sam is here to, you know, break it all down and clarify everything.
That's right.
For us with her top five this morning.
number one.
As the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin enters its third week, the judge has said that the jury will likely be sequestered and begin deliberating next Monday. And the judge also told the jury that the state will rest its case today. Chauvin is, of course, charged with second-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter, and third-degree murder. The jury heard from a cardiologist Monday morning who testified as an expert witness that Floyd's cardiopulmonary arrest was due to low oxygen caused by the prone restraint from Chauvin and other officers. After the prosecution rests its case today, defense attorney Eric Nelson will begin calling his own list of witnesses. Judge Peter Cahill told the jury that will happen today and that he expects closing arguments on Monday, April 19th.
Yeah, there was even some discussion that the defense could move through even faster than that and could actually hand the jury the case as of Friday. I don't know how well what to talk with our all-star panelist about yes. that coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. I do know there were some interesting objections by Eric Nelson, the defense attorney, in as much as, and again, whenever when you go through trials like this, we kind of all get educated, you know, in mm-hmm. how this works and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And the prosecution has put forward many witnesses that are all testifying to the same thing. And I believe, if my understanding is correct, okay, and from what I have read and what I've listened to, is that there is a certain level where you can't do that. And it actually isn't even beneficial for the prosecution to do that, to continue to bring on guests to argue a singular point
like
over
the same thing.
Yeah, the use of force is what I'm referring to. And I believe at some point yesterday, the judge allowed it, but the defense had objected to it, saying this is overkill. And I have heard outside commentary. People that do not live in this area and are not impacted and are looking this from a strictly objective viewpoint that in their mind, it speaks to the level of concern the prosecution has in the argument that they've laid out to the jury to convict Derek Chauvin. Mm. It will be, without a doubt, fascinating to hear the defense's case and the fact that they have so few guests. And they're going to, again, they just have to get one person.
Yeah.
But that's all the defense has to do. So if they feel like they've got a strong argument and a handful of witnesses can argue that point, you know, we'll know that in fairly short order. But it's a volatile time because, you know, as we mentioned on yesterday's show, objectivity is kind of out the window. You're not really allowed to be objective right now because the moment you're objective about anything, suddenly now it's individuals that are saying, well, you're being biased and therefore to some extent you're being racist. And this is just the world we live in right now. But we have to be braver than that. Look, I want to see this stuff stop. I want to see the altercations that lead to these deaths stop, just like everybody else does. I want to see the violence on the street and the destruction of private property completely separated from the instances themselves to stop. But it's not going to unless we, again, start having all of the conversations, not just the specific ones that we are doing that thing with my fingers allowed to have. Because that's what it feels like right now. We're only allowed to talk about certain aspects of this. We're not allowed to talk about other aspects of this. And that's just not true. Facts are facts, and there's no dismissing that. And we're going to dive into a lot more of this coming up at 7 o'clock this morning after we get through Sam's Top 5 when we break down all of what transpired yesterday with the Brooklyn Center Police coming out with the body cam footage, which is available on the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. And, you know, this curfew that we're under, I don't know how long it's supposed to last.
I do believe that it ended for this area, for these counties, at 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m. I'm just wondering, you
but
know,
if it'll be like a repeated thing.
I don't know. Yeah. And again, my expectation is when the defense rests, right, mm-hmm. and the closing arguments are done, I fully expect that Walls is going to implement another one.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not that's a good or bad idea at this point. And we're going to ask for your phone calls and get into more of that coming up at 7 o'clock. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. All right, coming up, more of Sam's Top 5, including, I couldn't believe this when I saw it, President Biden has tapped and nominated a new police chief for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Did this? He did this yesterday. I know this man. I've interviewed this man.
Ooh.
And as I tweeted out, if I facepalmed any harder, I probably would knock myself out. If you thought that the problem with illegal immigration is bad now, just wait until if this guy gets in charge. We'll bring you the details next on Twin Cities News Talk. We have a bit of breaking news here on Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5 FM. Drew will be back in studio with us tomorrow. This just came over. The FDA and CDC are recommending a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine out of an abundance of caution after reports of 6 cases in the U.S. of a rare and severe type of blood clot after receiving the shot.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're recommending a pause for the single dose Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine report. And again, I mean, that's it. That is an infinitesimal, if I'm using that word correctly, amount. But blood clots are not to be messed with. That's what got me in that's what was my first indicator when I had my that's what actually gave me my heart attack, was I had because of my bicuspid heart valve, it had thrown off a blood clot because it wasn't functioning properly and got stuck in one of my, heart, right?
I'm just picturing that sound effect actually like happening.
No, that's, when that's the sound they made when they got it clear.
Oh.
Blink. You're all good now. Your arteries, that's the word I was looking for. Arteries are clear. So, yeah, that's now Fauci's got another excuse to tell everybody to mask up and continue wearing masks until the end of time. We're not taking him seriously anymore, right? I mean, right? He's now reached the level of parody, right?
He's just a meme now, I think. Is he even a real person anymore? I think he's just a cartoon.
Yeah, I really do feel like, I could be wrong, but I just feel like, you know, there's the people that take Fauci seriously, but then for everybody else, he's just a parody of himself now.
There are two kinds of people in the world, the people who take Fauci seriously and smart people.
There you go. Yeah, and that rings true for Osterholm as well.
Yes, they're in the same category.
Doom and gloom.
They're basically the same person.
I need to go to the Mike Osterholm quotes page to see if he's gone on any more news outlets to talk about how the darkest days are still ahead. And we're still going to have surges. And okay. All right. Let us dive back into Sam's top five this morning.
Number 2.
President Joe Biden is tapping Tucson, Arizona Police Chief Chris Magnus as the nominee to head U.S. Customs and Border Protection. That's as of yesterday when he was slated to announce nominations for several top Immigration and Department of Homeland Security roles. And as John said in the last segment, he's actually familiar with this man.
Unfortunately. I couldn't, when I saw it, I was like, I thought, I'm not kidding. I was like, that's gotta be a Babylon Bee article. They're not really, it's only because he's right there.
Right.
He's Tucson's there and the border's right there.
Did Biden go to the border?
So he's right there.
Was Biden basically like,
I don't even think Biden knows where the border is. Or which border we're talking about.
He just pointed at the first person he saw.
He pointed at the Atlantic Ocean and said, we're gonna protect that border. On the beach, so nobody storms it. That's what he did.
This man, Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus, currently serves as the chief of police for the city of Tucson and previously spent time at the helm of police departments not too far from here in Fargo, North Dakota, as well as Richmond, California, which is far from here. Magnus has been described as having extensive experience in addressing immigration issues.
It would be like tapping me to be in charge of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection just because I did radio for 9 years in Tucson.
He knows enough.
I should not be given that job. I mean, I think I have more common sense than Chris Magnus does. I will at least give myself that much credit, right? Because this guy, he's just another progressive activist. He was out there with individuals protesting in support of Black Lives Matter years ago, before it was even anything that was mainstream, before we were riding in on the streets of America, right? Before it was being written on roads. He was out there in support of Black Lives Matter and protesting, actually, like, against law enforcement. And he's a weak leader. Tucson had a really good police chief, and he wisely retired. And he was replaced by Chris Magnus. And I had an opportunity to interview him. And look, he's a nice guy. He does his job. But he is not the guy to be heading U.S. Customs and Border Protection right now. He doesn't have the common sense, and he is a progressive, and he's not going to look at this the way that it should be examined and looked at via the letter of the law. And he's not going to look at it from doing the most compassionate thing, and that is actually taking away the incentive for individuals and the ability for individuals to come in the country illegally. I just had to laugh. What a world. I messaged Artel Cueto from the National Border Patrol Council, and I haven't heard back from him yet, but it's early. He's probably not up. But I messaged him, and I was just like, Magnus, really? My God in heaven. I cannot wait to hear what Artel Cueto from the National Border Patrol Council has to say. So, you know, hey, man, good luck. And that's to us. That's to America, not to this guy, because we're the ones that are going to need it.
Number three.
A Knoxville high school student was shot and killed Monday afternoon after firing a gun at a police officer who returned fire. From Fox News, this officer was taken into surgery after being shot at least once in the upper leg. The student, who has not been identified, did pass away at the school. The Knoxville Police Department and officers responded to reports of a possibly armed male suspect around 3:15 at this high school in Knoxville. Police found the student in a bathroom. That's according to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigative Director David B. Roush at a news conference. Police ordered the student to come out, but he wouldn't comply. And that's when he reportedly opened fire, and police did fire back at that point. KPD wrote on Facebook, upon approach of the suspect, shots were fired. A KPD officer was struck at least one time and transported to the UT Medical Center with injuries that are not expected to be life-threatening. Police did say that one male was pronounced deceased at the scene. That would be that student, while another unidentified person was detained for further investigation. And there are no other known gunshot victims. It does still remain unclear why this student brought a gun to school or why he fired at the officers.
And so far, it's not falling into the predetermined narratives worthy of extensive coverage. That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
These stories that don't align with pushing particular views that gain people power do not get discussed and talked about. I'm sure this will be a topic of extensive discussion and investigation in Knoxville, Tennessee, as it should. There's an argument to be made that when it comes to these particular issues, a lot of them are local issues that do not demand nationwide extensive coverage. And so I'm okay with that. And I think a lot of these circumstances, that is actually the more appropriate thing to do. However, you can't dismiss the fact that we do live in a world where local stories that are usually confined to the details of that specific area get blown up and talked about further on a larger scale. And often you have the use of word systemic applied to them because it fits a particular narrative, right? So again, if things were being equal, this story would be put in with all of the calls for more gun control. And this would be put in with all of the more calls when it comes to school shootings. But because it's not fitting into the narrative, it'll be resigned to being just a local story unless things change. But so far, I don't see that, happening. We live in such a bizarre time right now. The way that things are discussed and which issues are going to be deemed important. That's what it is. It's basically the mainstream media and politics get to decide which stories reach national level attention and which ones don't, even if they mirror each other in severity.
Number four.
Minneapolis police say that two people are dead after a shooting and car crash that occurred early Monday morning.
I just repeat that incomplete rant that I just did.
Yep. Yeah. Metro Transit police responded to this situation just after 2 a.m. when a shot spotter was activated. A shot spotter is a gunfire locator or gunshot detection system. So officers found a two-vehicle crash at the scene, noted that one vehicle was empty and that the other car contained a man that was dead from a gunshot wound. Another man was found in the middle of the street, a block from the crash with a gunshot wound, and officers on the scene said that they did attempt life-saving measures on this man, but they were unsuccessful, and he was pronounced dead by paramedics. This investigation is still ongoing. There's not a lot of details, and who knows if we'll even get more details on that.
Move on, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Again, I just repeat everything that I just said. Hey, you know that autonomous zone's still there?
Yep.
Yep. People still, you know, violence and gunshots and there's a level of normality that's actually taking place. There was an article from the Minnesota Reformer from last week, and it was with interviews with individuals living inside the autonomous zone, and many of whom were actually oddly fine with it. But it's just become the norm for them now. Mm-hmm. And yet there isn't any further discussion or questioning by our media as to why Arradondo a month later. It was back on the 13th. 13th or 17th. I'm believing it was the 13th. Back on the 13th, he had a press conference because the autonomous zone in Minneapolis was actually getting attention, and we had the death of the individual, we had the death of the pregnant woman, and Arradondo came out, and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey came out, and they held their press conference, said enough is enough, we're calling in the feds, we can't have this lawlessness in our community, and it was all just empty words. Because here we are today, and that autonomous zone still exists, the barricades are still up. People still are getting hurt. You know, there's still crime happening in there, and it's as if that whole press conference didn't even happen, and the media just ignores it.
Number five.
The police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright during a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center over the weekend mistakenly drew her handgun instead of a taser. This is according to the police chief and the body cam video that they released of the incident yesterday during a news conference. On this body camera video, the officer is heard shouting, "Taser, taser," but was holding her handgun instead of a taser, and then she fired a single shot. The Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon did call it an accidental discharge. He said that the female officer appeared to be intending to deploy her taser, but instead pulled out her handgun and fired a shot, killing Wright. The police officer was identified as Kim Potter by the Minnesota BCA last night. In this release, the BCA said that Potter has been with the Brooklyn Center Police Department for 26 years. She is a veteran officer. She has been placed under standard administrative leave. And watching this video is really tough because it's such a tragic incident, and it is so clearly just an awful, awful accident.
Yeah, it is. And you can watch the video. It's graphic, but you can watch the video up at the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. And there's a lot of different angles that we're going to be diving into coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and following all of this, last night there was a lot of rioting that happened. This article from Care 11 says the second night of demonstrations followed the Dante Wright shooting and the Brooklyn Center officer being identified. Officials with Operation Safety Net held a press conference very early in the morning to update the media and the public on their activities. An individual with the Minnesota State Patrol spoke about the protest that was held at the Brooklyn Center Police Department. He said that around 40 arrests were made, some citations were issued, and some people were booked into jail for things ranging from curfew violations to rioting. He said more accurate numbers on arrests and charges will be available later this morning.
We did end up being under a curfew, and we'll talk a little bit more about this coming up in a few minutes. Look, I understand from a regional aspect of putting a curfew in place and being proactive. We talked about that a ton on the show because that's what was sorely lacking in what took place with the riots in downtown Minneapolis last year. That being said, I do put into question extending that beyond the areas of where there is the most concern. And there's a level of, again, being proactive and, you know, better to be safe than sorry. But I do think there's a fine line there between causing fear in a community where it doesn't need to be because of just the distance between where the core of this tension is actually occurring. On top of that, the Brooklyn Center city manager got fired. Simply, according to the article, and we'll bring you the details next, simply got fired for calling for due process.
Yep.
Over the female police officer's actions.
The mayor didn't like that.
Well, and that raises a lot of questions because, okay, does that mean there's not going to be due process then? And where does that leave us?
Yep.
I mean, that's the number one question. It's like, so he said, because he was the guy that ends up making the decision, yep, that there wouldn't be that there should be due process. And then the mayor, Mike Elliott, fires him for making that comment, which just goes, all right, so what does that mean?
Yeah. And if you want any kind of accurate coverage about what's actually going on, besides listening to this show, obviously, you really need to seek it out for yourself, because the one line in this story says there was some looting reported in the Brooklyn Center and Minneapolis areas, but Langer called it limited and sporadic in nature. But if you actually go and you find individual reporters that are posting on social media videos of what's actually happening that are unedited and uncut, you will see that they completely demolished a Dollar Tree, set it on fire, burned it down, are looting businesses all around it. This is just like last spring.
Well, it goes into that whole question of how are you supposed to be informed? How are you supposed to go and educate yourself when you're not even being told the truth by the very media that is supposed to be providing you with news that you should have, that should be given with a level of integrity?
Yeah.
651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Thank you, Sam. We're going to play you some of the audio from the press conference yesterday where they showed the body cam footage. Plus, we will dive into what happened with the city manager in Brooklyn Center. And again, all of the conversations that we don't have, and because we don't have these conversations, we're not going to get anywhere in terms of stopping any of what we're dealing with right now. Plus, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka joins us at 7:35.